You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You may have heard the term dark money groups and how they come into states to fund certain political initiatives. Well, that's what happened here in Idaho in regards to Medicaid expansion. And guess what? These groups don't have to disclose who they are. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Kate Tallarico. She is a reporter with the Idaho Statesman who recently wrote an in-depth article exploring how all of this works. Welcome to the program, Kate.
Thanks for having me in.
Okay, first, explain how these dark money groups work, but also how they get around not having to identify where this money comes from.
Sure. So dark money groups, they usually work via nonprofits. So if you have a 501c3 or a 501c4 tax status, what you can do is you can accept donations anonymously. You don't have to disclose them. But then some of these groups will still be pursuing political agendas, usually on behalf of their donors. And that's a way that they can sort of avoid having their donors listed. And actually, the Idaho legislature, they've tried to address this. And actually, this session, they were trying to do a bill that would shine some light on who funds groups like the Idaho Freedom Foundation, which is a conservative think tank here in Idaho, the ACLU of Idaho, the American Civil Liberties Union. And those groups really pushed back because they felt that if they had to disclose their donors, those donations might start to drop.
And these dark money groups did come into Idaho this year, specifically around Medicaid expansion, correct?
Yeah, correct. So there was one group in particular called the Foundation for Government Accountability. So they are a Florida-based nonprofit, and they've been working on Medicaid expansion in several different states. They've been working on it in Kentucky, in Arkansas, and they are big fans of work requirements. So, you know, as our reporters were talking about during the reporters roundtable, work requirements were something that the legislature added to Medicaid expansion, and it's somewhat controversial.
So talk to me about how this Foundation for Government Accountability implemented its strategies here in our state, because in your article, you talked about how they have a certain kind of recipe that they follow that has been successful.
Yeah, so They have aligned themselves typically with the conservative think tank that is already existing in the state. So here they worked with the Idaho Freedom Foundation, and they tried to align themselves also with various members of the legislature who tend to agree with their politics. I mean, in Idaho, it's not that surprising that we're seeing work requirements, right? But early on in the session, what was being tossed around was more of a voluntary work requirement idea.
But then what happened was they took these, they sent emails to particular lawmakers, correct?
Right. So one of these representatives, Representative Brian Zollinger, he was in contact with some of the lobbyists for the Foundation for Government Accountability. And what he says is that, you know, this is a group that whose ideas tend to be in line with his constituents. And because the legislators don't get a staff that can draft bills or really take a look at this, he said that he was really relying on this group to help him craft some of the legislation that would add work requirements.
And he was copy and pasting basically these emails, though, and then sending to other lawmakers.
Yeah. So they gave him tips about, you know, here is some language that you could include in the bill. That would make sure to make Medicaid work requirements more stringent. There's also been controversy about, you know, will Medicaid work requirements add a higher price tag to Medicaid? And they were giving him advice about how to kind of talk down what the price would be associated with the Medicaid work requirements. And so he copy and pasted some of their words and just sent it off to other legislators without mentioning where that information had come from and that it had come from the Foundation for Government Accountability.
I'm speaking with Kate Tallarico. She's a reporter with the Idaho Statesman in regards to one of her recent articles about dark money groups working here in Idaho. What was the fallout when your article was published, bringing to light what you just described?
I mean, one of the things that, that legislators will say is that they don't have the staff to really work on these issues by themselves. And so, yeah, they rely on groups like these. And clearly work requirements were still passed. So ultimately, even though I think many Idahoans are concerned about the role that outside groups who are opaquely funded have in the legislature, it's still happening every day.
And how did Democrat lawmakers respond to this? I know you interviewed Democrat Alana Rubel, in your article, and you know, what was their response to all of this?
So Alana Rubel was saying that she really feels like there needs to be a greater effort to bring to light some of the groups that are working here in Idaho and trying to identify where their money is coming from. Groups like the Foundation for Government Accountability are funded by other, you know, large conservative donors. Millions and millions of dollars have been poured into them by various conservative foundations.
What's interesting, though, is, as you said in the beginning of this interview, though, it's not just the Idaho Freedom Foundation who pushed back on disclosing who gives them money, but you said the ACLU as well. Mm-hmm. So these are groups on two different ends of the spectrum not wanting to have to identify who gives them money.
Right. And there were pro-life groups that don't want this identified. So ultimately that ended up sort of killing that bill that could have shed more light on the outside influence of money in politics.
There's another article you wrote as well, right around the same time, talking about the Idaho Freedom Foundation and why they continue to file lawsuits that potentially they know they are going to lose. One in particular, when they challenged Medicaid expansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this article, I got interested in it because I think that there was some fear from folks who had just seen Medicaid. 61% of voters support Medicaid expansion during the November election, and this idea that a group who, you know, we don't know a lot about their donors, that this group could potentially challenge that and bring that down through the courts and go against this sort of democratically supported, small D, democratically supported.
Well, 61% of Idahoans.
Right. You know, and the Idaho Freedom Foundation says that they're trying to defend Idaho taxpayers. I think the question that some people raised is, well, what taxpayers when you have 61% of voters supporting this? So I looked into how they have used the courts as a way to have a platform for their ideology in a way, because even if you're losing, as I talked to some folks, you can still use the courts as a way to push your political agenda.
Right, and keep talking about it. I want to thank you for coming in today. I've been speaking with Idaho Statesman reporter Kate Tallarico about her recent articles regarding dark money groups in Idaho. Kate has another article coming out this Sunday in regards to the Airbnb business here in the area. So that's coming out Sunday.
Yes, coming out
and
Sunday.
The two articles we mentioned, you can also still read them online. Kate, thanks so much for the conversation.
Thank you.